Well, greetings, brethren. Welcome to another Wednesday night Bible study. Tonight, God willing, we're going to cover Ezekiel chapter 47. And this is pre-recorded. I'll actually be on my way home as you're listening to this. And hopefully I'll be able to participate in the chat, but I'm not 100% sure about that. Let's open with a word of prayer. Exciting chapter. I'll talk about it after we open with prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord, to praise you, to thank you, to acknowledge you, and just to demonstrate gratitude for this incredible privilege that we have to access the revelation that you gave to your prophet Ezekiel and to increase our understanding of your will and to align our lives with your will. We thank you so much, Father, for this good news that we'll be studying tonight and ask for your continued blessing. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So we are in Ezekiel chapter 47. And what I want to say is we just wrap up this scroll, chapter 47 this evening, chapter 48, God willing, next week. And then we'll have gone through all 48 chapters of the scroll of Ezekiel. These last two chapters are what it's all about. And as much as we do quote from Ezekiel, I have not been very familiar with the contents of these two chapters. I don't know if it's different for you, but we need to be very, very familiar. This is the gospel. This is the whole point of the book. In fact, this is the whole point of the Bible, what we're reading here in Ezekiel 47 and 48. So let me just go ahead and share my screen and let us get into Ezekiel chapter 47. So he begins with after this. So we were in 46 last week, and we saw the role of the priesthood and the Levites and the land. Here now in chapter 47, afterward, he brought me again unto the door of the house. And behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. And so he didn't see this before. Now he's looking and he's seeing this. For the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from under, from the right side of the house, at the south side of the altar. And so this should put us in mind of Genesis, that God is really restoring the conditions where the Bible began in Genesis 1 and 2. And so we're seeing now this restoration of the Garden of Eden. And here in chapter 2 and verse 9, and out of the ground God made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And so we're going to see later in chapter 47 this tree of life, or trees of life. And also here then in verse 10 of Genesis 2, and a river went out of Eden to water the garden. So this is how the original paradise and Eden was watered, from this river. You know, when Israel went into the promised land, God told them it's not like Egypt. God himself will water it with rain. And now we're seeing in chapter 47 in the millennium that there's this river that is going to irrigate the land, just like in Eden. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden. And from there it was parted and became into four heads. So there was this river that was a source of life in Eden. Here, back to chapter 47, verse 2. Then he brought me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way without unto the outer gate by the way that looks eastward. And behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits. So now they're moving away from the temple, following the river, and they went out 1,000 cubits. I believe this is about 3 miles. I could just quickly check that with the complete Jewish Bible. 47 and verse 3. Up to my waist. One third of a mile. Sorry. It's a third of a mile. So he went out 1/3 of a mile, and the water was up to the ankles. So the water is coming from the temple, and they go out 1/3 of a mile, and it comes up to his ankles. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. The waters were to the knees. So it goes. So now he's 2/3 of a mile out, and the water's coming up to his knees. And he measured 1,000 and brought me through, and the waters were to my waist. Afterward, he measured 1,000. So he's now 1 1/3 out, and it was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen. So he's in deep waters now, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. And so this tour guide says to him, and he said unto me, "Son of man, have you seen this? Do you see this?" And so it's quite fascinating that the temple is the source of this water, and it comes out of the temple really as a trickle. But as it goes further and further away from the temple, it becomes a gushing river. So it's quite miraculous. Where's the source of this water? Where it's not like it's coming from a lake, coming into this tributary, coming into this river, and the lake or the is feeding the river. No, the river is being fed from the temple, and it's gaining momentum the further it goes out from the temple. So it's quite miraculous. And the tour guide realizes this is miraculous and just wants to ensure that Ezekiel understands the miraculous nature of what he's looking at. "Son of man, have you seen this?" Then he brought me and caused me to return to the brink of the river, or back to the river bank. Now, when I had returned, behold, at the bank of the river were very many trees on the one side and on the other. And so he's looking at this river, he's on the river bank, and he sees, wow, there's trees on either side, a lot of them. Let's go to Isaiah 34. Just all the prophets are seeing and saying the same thing. Isaiah 34 and verse 5, and then we'll go into Isaiah 35. God says, "For my sword shall be bathed in heaven. Behold, it shall come down upon Idumea and upon the people of my curse to judgment." So these Edomites that have called God's land their land from the river to the sea, God is furious. This is his land. And his people will inherit his land by covenant. This is by the oath of God. So the rallying cry from the river to the sea is blasphemy against God. And God is saying, my sword is bathed in heaven. I'm going to take care of this. "For it is the day of the Lord's vengeance and the year of recompenses for the controversy of Zion." You know, Zion is a controversy in the whole world. There's a saying, if it's Jews, it's news. If it involves Jews, it's news. So there's this global controversy over these people saying they are the chosen people. And so we come up with things like the final solution, and just these things provoke Satan, and Satan activates his people, his puppets. Now look at Isaiah 35. So God is going to take care of the enemy. And then in Isaiah 35, the wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, for his people. And the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. So Isaiah is seeing the same thing. Ezekiel sees there's this river of life. And then there's these trees that are irrigated by the river. And this, in this solitary place, in this place that's been destroyed in the desert, Isaiah says, wow, the desert's going to blossom as a rose. "It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing after all the destruction. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God." God will be glorified in Israel. "Therefore, strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees." That's what we should be doing. We should understand this vision, and we should just be absolutely dogmatic over this vision. This is the way it's going to be. This is the future. And so whatever they're trying to do in the Middle East, it's irrelevant. God is going to do this. Whatever Donald Trump is trying to do in the Middle East, it's irrelevant. God is going to do that. This is his land. "Say to them that are of a fearful heart," and they have every right to be fearful. If things just go the way Satan wants them to go, they will be completely eradicated. But they will not go the way Satan wants them to go. They will go according to God's oath and his covenant. And because we understand this, and this is the heart of the gospel, the only reason there is good news is because God is a God of covenant. He's a faithful God, and he is bound by covenant to this people and this land. Therefore, we can preach this gospel. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. This is the good news. This is salvation. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of dragons where each lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return. It's all about the people, the land, and their God. This is the gospel. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Back to Ezekiel 47. All the prophets are seeing and saying the same thing. This is the gospel. Then said he unto me, these waters issue out toward the east country and go down into the desert. They are life-giving waters, and they're going to go down into the desert, and the desert will blossom as a rose. And they go into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the waters shall be healed. So this is these are healing waters, and we know the Dead Sea, it's so dense with salt, nothing can live in the Dead Sea. But this is saying from the river to the sea is going to come to life. It's going to be bursting with life when God heals it with these waters. And it shall come to pass that everything that lives, which moves, wherever the river shall come, shall live. So the rivers are coming, or the water is coming from the temple and into these rivers. And wherever the rivers go, life. And wherever the river shall come, shall live. And there shall be a very great multitude of fish. So Satan's rallying cry from the river to the sea is a death chant. It's about destruction and death. From the river to the sea in the Bible is about life. It's about bringing everything to life from the river to the sea. And it shall come to pass that everything that lives, which moves, wherever the river shall come, shall live. And there shall be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come there, for they shall be healed. And everything shall live where the river comes. It's just amazing. There's going to be such abundance here. This is the millennium. This is the abundance. This is the prosperous economy. And it shall come to pass that the fishers shall stand upon it from En Gedi even unto Eneglaim. Let's see En Gedi. Just to see this on the atlas. So you can see here that it's this river from Jerusalem, where God's temple will be. It's going to flow all the way down into the Dead Sea. And everything that it touches is going to come to life. They shall be a place to spread forth nets. Their fish shall be according to their kinds. Again, this ring of Genesis. As the fish of the great sea, exceeding many. This is economy. This is a prosperous and an abundant economy, enabling God's people to have complete joy. But the miry places thereof, and the, it says marishes, I'll say marshes thereof, shall not be healed. They shall be given to salt. So if you go into the marshy areas, they will have this density of salt, which is a good thing, which is, again, part of the economy. It's another blessing. So God is separating now the fresh water from the salt. But the fresh water, everywhere where the fresh water goes, it'll be teeming with life, and therefore that's the underpinning of the economy. And by the river upon the bank thereof, on this, and you know, the minerals, the salt, all of that is also part of a prosperous economy. And by the river upon the bank thereof, on this side and on that side, shall grow all trees for meat. So this is, again, you can sort of picture, in fact, we're going to go to Revelation 22, but you can picture in Genesis, the garden being watered by the rivers. And then here it's the same thing. And these trees are going to be, again, so prosperous. This is part of the economy. Whose leaf shall not fade. So you'll never see a leaf where it's lacking in nutrition. Neither shall the fruit thereof be destroyed. So you're not going to have all these pests attacking the trees. I think our brother Tom, who runs an apple farm, would know a lot about this. It shall bring forth new fruit according to its months. Because their waters they issued out of the sanctuary, and the fruit thereof shall be for meat, and the leaf thereof for medicine. So all of these trees are being nourished by the temple in Jerusalem. The origin of these waters is the temple in Jerusalem. Now, it speaks of many, many trees along the riverbanks, on either side of this the river. Here in Revelation 22, John says, he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. So that same miraculous source of the water. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, there was the tree of life, which bore 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Similar, but different. In this case, there's the tree of life. It says on either side, so there may be two trees, one on either side. But it's not many. It's either one or two. I think it's two. And we do see it bearing fruits. It's prosperous. And every month bearing fruit, which is what we saw here. It's going to bring forth fruit every month, and it's on one side and on the other, but here it's multiple trees. And I think we just have to acknowledge that Ezekiel 47 is a vision of how things will be during the millennium, and Revelation 22 is the vision after the millennium, when God the Father himself comes down. It's the throne of the Lamb, yes, and of God. Whereas here it's in Ezekiel 47, it's just the throne of the Lamb. Now it's post-millennium, and it's the throne of God and of the Lamb. Here in Ezekiel 47, the nourishing of the trees is for the prosperity of Israel. Israel is benefiting. Israel's economy is benefiting from these trees. Here in Revelation 22, the trees are for the healing of the nations. The nations are having now access to these trees. So similar, but different, to different time periods. In Joel 3, again, all the prophets are seeing and saying the same thing. Verse 17, so you shall know that I am the Lord, your God, dwelling in Zion. God is going to dwell with his people in Zion, my holy mountain. Then shall Jerusalem be holy, and there shall no strangers pass through her anymore. So those death chants of the river to the sea by the Canaanites, that's going to be dispensed with. That'll be no more. And it shall come to pass in that day that the mountains shall drop new wine, and the hills shall flow with milk, and all the rivers of Judah shall flow with waters, and a fountain shall come forth of the house of the Lord, and shall water the valley of Shittim. So it's a clear vision. It's a real, this is the future. And we are blessed to have a vision and understanding of the future that's coming very, very rapidly. Every day is another day closer to this reality unfolding that God showed the prophets, that God showed Moses, and now he's showing to us. And they're all seeing and saying the same thing. Listen to Isaiah, in Isaiah 55, verse 12. For you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. This is the thus saith the Lord, all the warfare, all the terrorism notwithstanding, you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. The whole creation is rejoicing and cooperating with God in prospering his people in the land. Instead of the thorn, shall come up the fir tree. And instead of the brier, shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. We must understand the name of the Lord and how his name is being violated by blasphemers, and how the gospel is declaring the glory of his name, and that his name will be glorified in Israel. That is his will. And that's what these prophets are seeing. Listen to Amos. Behold, Amos 9:13. Behold, the days come, says the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him that sows seed, and the mountains shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt. And I will end the captivity of my people Israel, land, people, God. It's a three-way covenantal, eternal relationship. I'll end the captivity of my people Israel, and they shall build the waste cities and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof. They shall also make gardens and eat the fruit thereof. And what Ezekiel is showing us is that these gardens are going to be watered miraculously by the waters that emanate from the throne of the Lamb. Back to Ezekiel 47, verse 13. For thus says the Lord God, this shall be the border whereby you shall inherit the land. So the first part of the vision then in verse 12 is around the miraculous nature of the waters coming from God's throne and how that's going to be the underpinning of a prosperous economy for God's people in God's land as they have this covenantal relationship with their God, which is eternal. Now, God gives Ezekiel details around who will inherit what piece of land. So now we're going to understand how the land will be carved up for these people according to the covenant. This is the gospel. This is what God is passionate about. This is what we must be passionate about. We cannot hijack the gospel and turn it into something that God never said. We have to say what God says. Ezekiel 47 and verse 13. Thus saith the Lord God. This is what God says, not what we think, not what we want, what God says and what God wants and what he has a zeal for. Thus saith the Lord God, this shall be the border. So God is bordering out according to the covenant he made with Abraham. This shall be the border whereby you shall inherit the land, Satan's puppets notwithstanding, according to the 12 tribes of Israel. So the 12 tribes of Israel are going to inherit this land as God promised. Joseph shall have two portions. And we'll remember in Genesis 48, when Jacob adopted Joseph's children, his grandchildren, as his own, as if they were his sons, to make them his sons. And now your two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, which were born unto you into the land of Egypt, before I came unto you into Egypt, they're mine. As Reuben and Simeon, they shall be mine. So they're on the same level as his sons. Even though they're grandsons, Jacob elevated them. And that's exactly what Ezekiel is told here, that these two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, are at the same level of the other tribes. And they're going to have, all the tribes are going to have equal portions. And you shall inherit it, one as well as another. Every single tribe is going to inherit this land. Concerning the which, God says, I lifted up my hand to give it unto your fathers. We can't mess around with this, brethren. God is so serious about this, and he's going to destroy every enemy that gets in his way. So woe unto them chanting from the river to the sea. This is a death chant for themselves. They think it's a death chant for Israel. It's a death chant for themselves, because this is blasphemy to God's name. We need to make sure we're on the right side and we're backing up and we're amplifying God's will. God says to Israel, the 12 tribes, you shall inherit this land, one as well as another, every single tribe, concerning the which I lifted up my hand to give it unto your fathers. And again, I gave a sermon very recently, my last sermon, where this notion of give, God owns the land. He's assigning it to these people. And he's assigning it in a very specific way, but it's his land. And they cannot sell it. They cannot give it away. It belongs. It has tribal eternal tribal possession because of this grant by God. And this land shall fall unto you for inheritance. This is the gospel. The gospel was preached to the forefathers, and the same gospel was preached to us. The only difference is, with them, it wasn't mixed with faith. We have to believe this. This is the gospel. In Genesis 15, we see, he says, you know, I swore this to your fathers. This was first sworn to Abram or Abraham, and then it was handed down all the way to Jacob and to his sons. Genesis 15, verse 18, in the same day, Jehovah made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto your seed have I given or granted this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. So it has its boundaries. And God is saying, I have set these boundaries, and now I'm going to divide up the land to the 12 tribes. In Deuteronomy 30 and verse 2, kind of our go-to scripture as the underpinning of the gospel, Moses says, and you shall return unto Jehovah your God, and you shall obey his voice, according to all that I command you this day. So the entire Torah instructions, they're going to obey them, you and your children. But there's going to be a difference. You're going to do it with all your heart and with all your soul. So at the end of the day, God is going to inject his spirit into these people. He's going to renew the covenant with them, and they're going to rejoice and be wholehearted in their worship of Jehovah. That then the Lord your God will end your captivity. That's what we're seeing now in Ezekiel 47. God's word is real. God means what he says. That this is when God will end your captivity and have compassion upon you, and will return and gather you from all the nations. So when Jesus Christ returns, he's going to send his angels to the four corners of the earth to gather the elect and bring them into this land. And they're going to inherit it according to their tribes, where the Lord your God has scattered you. And the Lord your God will bring you into the land. Which land? Which land exactly? The land which your fathers possessed. We cannot get away from this. This is from the Torah to Revelation. God is never deviating from this good news. He'll bring you into the land which your fathers possessed, and you shall possess it. And he will do you good and multiply you above your fathers. Back to Ezekiel 47 and verse 15. And this shall be the border of the land toward the north side, from the great sea, the way of Hethlon, as men go to Zedad. So what's interesting here in Ezekiel 47 is the allotment of the land begins from the north side. This is similar to what we see in Numbers, except in Numbers, the allotment of the land begins from the south side. So we need to understand that. So Ezekiel 34 and verse 2, command the children of Israel and say unto them, when you come into the land of Canaan, this is the land that shall fall unto you for an inheritance. Same thing that Ezekiel is seeing, that Ezekiel is seeing this being fulfilled. Even the land of Canaan, Canaan, with the coasts thereof, all the territories, the borders, it's all been allotted to you. Then your south quarter shall be from the wilderness of Zin, along by the coast of Edom, and your south border shall be the outmost coast of the Salt Sea eastward. So Moses begins to explain to them how the land is going to be allotted, but he begins from the south. Ezekiel explains how the land is going to be allotted. He begins from the north. What's the difference? The difference is, when Moses was leading the children of Israel and then Joshua would take them into the land, they were coming out of Egypt. They were coming from the south into the land of Canaan. In the end time, they've been captured by Assyria, the king of the north, and they're coming now from the north into the promised land. So it's the same promise and it's the same land. It's just a different time period. Back to Numbers 34, this time verses 13 to 15. And Moses commanded the children of Israel, saying, this is the land which you shall inherit by lot. Same thing Ezekiel is saying, that lots are going to be cast to divide up the land among the tribes. And that's how it was originally. which the Lord commanded to give it unto the nine tribes and to the half tribe. So the other two and a half tribes had already received their allotments, and now it's the nine and a half that have to receive their allotments. And he goes, so he says here that Reuben and Gad have received their inheritance, and half the tribe of Manasseh have received their inheritance. So that was divided for them earlier, and now there's nine and a half left as they come in to take their allotments. The two tribes and the half tribe have received their inheritance on this side of Jordan near Jericho eastward towards sunrising. So all 12 tribes are this is their inheritance, but they're receiving it by lot. Ezekiel 47 verse 16, so he's now just outlining the geographies, Hamath, Beratha, Sibraim, which is between the border of Damascus and the border of Hamath, Hazar Thatikon, which is by the coast of Haran. So this is very meaningful to them to know, okay, that's our territory, that's our territory. And the border from the sea shall be Hazarinan, the border of Damascus, and the north northward, and the border of Hamas, and this is the north side. And the east side, you shall measure from Haran, and from Damascus, and from Gilead, and from the land of Israel by Jordan, from the border unto the sea, this is the east side. And the south side southward, from Tamar, even to the waters of Strife in Kadesh, and the river to the great sea. So there again is the river to the sea. Yes, it's the river to the sea is from the Bible, not from these satanic puppets. And this is the south side southward. The west side also shall be the great sea from the border, till a man come over against Hamath. This is the west side. So shall you divide this land unto you according to the tribes of Israel. So it's just basically God is very precise. And he's precise because he's sworn by an oath that he is going to do this, despite Israel's faithlessness, despite thousands of years of time. God does not forget his promises. This is the gospel. This is why we have good news. And it shall come to pass that you shall divide it by lot. Notice that it's going to be divided by lot for an inheritance unto you. So you don't just go in and choose the land that you like. There's going to be lots cast, and that's going to determine which tribe gets which part of the inheritance. Exactly what we saw in Numbers. It shall come to pass that you shall divide it by lot for an inheritance unto you, and to the strangers that sojourn with you. So this is interesting. So it's not just Israel that will inherit this promised land, but the strangers that sojourn among you will also inherit this land. Interesting. So it's not just strangers or invaders, illegal aliens. It's those that have actually come in lawfully and have made their home in Israel. Those strangers that sojourn among you, which shall beget children among you, and they shall be unto you as born in the country among the children of Israel. So there's always been this opportunity for Gentiles to come into the community of Israel. But they have to be committed. They have to be very, very serious about this and make, you know, sort of forsake their father's land, come in among Israel and worship the God of Israel and live among Israel as Israelites. And they shall be unto you as born in the country among the children of Israel. They shall have inheritance with you among the tribes of Israel. And so this is part of that mystery that Paul speaks of in Ephesians, that it's the mystery of ages. It's really from the beginning, but it just wasn't fully understood. Proverbs 16, in terms of the inheritance by lot, the lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. And I think I just prefer the Jewish Bible here. He says, one can cast lots into one's lap, but the decision comes from Adonai. So this is why we see then they're going to inherit the land by lot, meaning God is going to influence the lot so they get the land according to his will. Back to Ezekiel 47, the last verse of Ezekiel 47, and then we'll end in Isaiah. It shall come to pass that in what tribe the stranger sojourns, there shall you give him his inheritance, says the Lord. So wherever that stranger, whatever tribe that stranger was living with, they will inherit land with that tribe. And kind of puts us in mind of the future when everything is settled and God the Father is on earth and there's 12 gates, each one assigned to a tribe, and the nations are going to come to worship, but they're going to come through a gate because the Gentile lands will be divided according to the tribes of Israel. So it's Israel, 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 and these 12 sons of Israel, God's whole plan for the future revolves around them. Let's conclude in Isaiah 56. I love the scroll of Isaiah. We went through it quite thoroughly. But look, all the prophets are seeing and saying the same thing. Isaiah 56 in verse 3, neither let the son of the stranger that has joined himself to Jehovah speak, saying, Jehovah has utterly separated me from his people. I'm not an Israelite. I'm completely separate from them. Neither let the eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree. For thus says the Lord unto the eunuchs that keep my Sabbaths and choose the things that please me and take hold of my covenant. Even unto them will I give in my house and within my walls a place and a name better than of sons and of daughters. And I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. Also, the sons of the stranger that join themselves to Jehovah, to serve him and to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants, everyone that keeps the Sabbath from polluting it and takes hold of my covenant, even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar. And there again, so Ezekiel, oh, Ezekiel's temple can't be real. It must be symbolic because there's offerings and there's sacrifices. So we've been through that. But look, Isaiah sees it as well. This vision is real. It's really going to unfold exactly as the prophets have said. And Isaiah is seeing the same thing that Ezekiel saw, that strangers will inherit this land if they have really adopted Israel or become part of Israel and really devoted themselves to Jehovah and his covenant, and they really do live and completely give themselves to the God of Israel. God says, absolutely, they're going to inherit. They're part of this inheritance. Even then will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon my altar. So there's this whole worship system that's going to be there, and they're worshiping Christ. For my house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. And indeed it will be, and we see ultimately when God the Father comes to earth, all people are still coming to the house of prayer. The Lord God, which gathers the outcasts of Israel, says, yet will I gather others to him besides those that are gathered unto him. So, and we see that being fulfilled then with the vision that God gave to Ezekiel. That is Ezekiel chapter 47. God willing, we will finish this incredible scroll, this very long, fairly complex scroll, next week. And the following week, Pastor Murray and I are planning to have a live Q&A. So please be thinking about your questions, your thoughts, your comments. Go ahead and send those to us with whatever channels you're used to communicating with us. And we will certainly address those in, or attempt to address them in our wrap-up of the scroll of Ezekiel in 2 weeks' time. God willing, next week we'll cover Ezekiel chapter 48, the final chapter of the scroll. And it's just mind-blowing to me. This is what the scroll of Ezekiel is all about. This is what the Bible is all about. How God is going to fulfill this covenant that he made with Abraham. so that all families of the earth will be blessed, but each in his own order. And we're getting a detailed explanation and vision of the order of God's plan. So God willing, we'll cover that next week as we cover chapter 48. And God willing, you'll be able to join us this Sabbath at 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time when Deacon Jan will bring the sermon. God bless you. Thank you so much for joining. What a mighty and faithful God we serve.